Thank you, choir. Amen. For the good singing, good stirring of God. Amen. I'm glad we've got a better place to go, aren't you? Amen. It will be a jubilee, and there will be singing to be done, and we'll get to be a part of it. I'm glad of the promises of God. Amen. It's not just to me. It's not just to you. It's our children, our children's children. Amen. And how great, exceedingly great and precious they are. Amen. So we just need to obey God. So good to have Brother Terry with us tonight. I appreciate him. Love him. Amen. Have for years. We've worked together and been together for years. So good. And glad the Lord put him on our heart for this week at this time. So I want you to pray for him. We're going to turn the service to him. Amen. They'll be singing throughout the week, special singing throughout the week. Amen. But we're going to mind God tonight. Amen. That's what we feel like doing. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask him to come. You pray for him. Amen. I don't know if he needs an introductory or not. Amen. But well, he'll make himself known before he gets through. Amen. So you pray for him. Amen. Good to have him. Come on, son. Amen. Love you.
Well, thank you, Brother Freddie. It's a blessing to be in the service tonight. We appreciate the Lord giving us this time together. Thank you, Brother Freddie, for the kind invitation to come and share in these days, the Lord being our helper, Lord willing. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be here. And thank the Lord for making it possible we could be here. And it's a joy and an honor to be here tonight. And brought a blessing to our life tonight to hear the good songs and to see the folks get stirred as they begin to sing. What a blessing that is. Well, look with us tonight in Hebrews chapter 2. If you have a Bible and want to follow along tonight, Hebrews chapter 2. The book of Hebrews chapter number 2. And I want to read verse 9. You can probably quote this verse. It's familiar. But it's the verse I want to read tonight and then try to preach from it, the Lord being our helper. And I'd ask humbly, you that know the worth of prayer, that you would pray for us and ask the Lord to help us tonight that we might preach His message and that He would strengthen us and use us for His honor and for His glory. Hebrews chapter 2, if you found your place, if you're physically able, if you're willing to do so, we invite you to stand with us. By standing, we'll honor and reverence the reading of God's precious words. And then we'll look to the Lord in prayer after we read this verse. And again, we need you to lift us up to the Lord. Got to have the Lord's help. Cannot do anything without it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Lord, we love you because you first loved us. We're thankful and grateful to be in your house tonight. We appreciate, Lord, the good songs and the testimonies tonight. We're grateful, Lord, for the prayers that's already been prayed. Lord, I appreciate your presence among your people tonight. Lord, we're thankful that you've blessed us to live in a nation that we can assemble like we are tonight. We're thankful to you, Lord, for the liberty we have in Christ. I thank you for the day you saved me and brought me in the family of God. I thank you, Lord, for calling us to preach and for the open door. Now, would you add your blessings to the reading of the Word of God? Would you give us that unction and that utterance that man can't preach without? Would you let me lose sight of myself and where I'm at for just a few moments? And would you immerse me in my heart, my mind, and my spirit in the Word of God, in the will of God, and in the ways of God? Lord, would you call our remembrance of Scriptures? Would you give us, Lord, fresh oil tonight? Would you breathe upon us that we might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? May the Word of God go forth now from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, may the Word of God find lodging in our hearts and lives. Would you awaken sinners to their need of you? Would you convict them and draw them to you with cords of love? Would you stir up the saint tonight, that one that's afar off, may they draw nigh. That one that's cold and indifferent, may they get right tonight. That one that's discouraged, may they find encouragement tonight. That one that's out of the way, may they be reproved. That one, dear Lord, that's under great burdens and battles, may, dear Lord, tonight they find victory. And Lord, what they need for this service, Help us, I pray. Would you do among us what we cannot do for ourselves? Oh, above everything that's done, I pray tonight that your name would be glorified and magnified among us tonight. And Lord, what you're pleased to do in through and for us, we'll thank you and praise you. I ask everything I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight as we read the Word of God and prayed together. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews as well as the other Pauline epistles that he wrote here in the New Testament. A total of 14 books that no doubt he wrote. And I believe here that he wants to encourage or strengthen the Hebrew believers, for as they have faced trials and temptations over the past several years after their profession or confession of faith in the Lord Jesus, they had grown tired and weary of the battle and the burdens that they had encountered. They were persecuted greatly. They were ostracized by the community that they lived in. They were treated as dead people. Their own families, my friend, no longer looked at them as people that were alive, but treated them as they were dead. The Jewish families would actually have a funeral for a person that had left the faith and trusted Christ, and then would treat them as if they had died. And what a terrible experience it was for these believers. Of course, when they first had been converted, they were so thrilled. They had so much joy. They rejoiced so greatly over what Christ meant to them, that these afflictions and these persecutions was like pouring water on a duck's back. It just went off of them, and they were looking beyond this veil of tears and this time of suffering to that day when they could be with their Lord. But as He had not returned for the young man, and they began, my friend, to live day in and day out with this persecution and these problems, their faith got weak, and they began to grow tired of all the things that had happened to them. I say to you tonight that, first of all, they became dull of hearing. It's like that they no longer rejoiced in the Word of God, in what the apostles said or what the Lord said through the church. You imagine now, they didn't have the full canon of Scriptures. They didn't have the completed Word of God like we have tonight. They were a New Testament church, my friend, living on that New Testament ground, and yet did not have a New Testament. They were just going, my friend, and being led by the Spirit of God. So it was a great difficulty for them. They become dull of hearing. Paul reminded them in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. He was speaking of verse 10 about Melchizedek. He said, I need to talk to you about Melchizedek. But he said, we have many things to say about him, and hard to be uttered, especially seeing you are dull of hearing. They had, my friend, become dull of hearing. That is, the things that once excited them and brought life to them and joy to them no longer did. They heard it, but it went in one ear and out the other. It just became, my friend, mundane to them. It just became a ritual to them. It meant nothing. Amen. That's just a preacher talking. That's just one of the apostles giving his opinion. And they became dull of hearing. I'm telling you tonight, the reason I'm preaching this is because it can happen to us as well. As believers, as saints, as children of God, we can reach that place that the Word of God, my friend,
that what God has to say to us, that the message that has been brought to us, my friend, can become so mundane, we can be so focused on our surroundings and our situations, that we fail to hear what God has to say to us. Amen. Someone said, God's not talking in this generation. Well, He is. We just are too far away to hear Him. We've just become dull of hearing. We need to clean out our ears. We need to focus in again on Him and what He has to say to us. Amen. They had become dull of hearing. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, He admonished them. He said, we ought to give the more earnest heed unto the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Then let them slip. Then let the words of the Savior. Then let the words of the saints. Then let the words of the Scriptures of our friends slip away from them. Oh my. When the Word of God becomes like any other book to you. When the Word of God, my friend, does not have a preeminence in first place. Oh, hear me, friend. When you just hear the Word of God, but don't hear God in the Word. I want to tell you, friend, you're headed for a downfall. You're headed for a train wreck, for a shipwreck. Anybody hearing me? Amen. So they had become dull of hearing. And not only had they become dull of hearing, they wanted to do away with their confidence. Amen. Do away with their confidence. Oh, they'd had such confidence when they first got illuminated, when they first got saved, when they first trusted Christ, when they first come out from that old covenant into this new covenant, into this better and living way. Amen. But now, oh, hear me, friend, they were ready to do away with that confidence that they once had. Anybody listen to me? The Bible tells us, thank God, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Anybody listening to me? Ready to do away with their confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. God help us. I won't belabor the point here. I don't think so much the Hebrew writer is so much interested in salvation as he is service. Amen. I don't think he's talking so much about their salvation as far as their soul. Thank God, but their body and sanctification is what he's interested in. Amen. Are you listening to me? Thank God. They had already been partakers of Christ. But he reminded them that there was more to be had. Oh, are you hearing me? Not a second work of grace. But there's more of Christ to be had than just in salvation. Are you hearing me? And he said, you're in danger of missing what God brought you out of Egypt or out of sin for. He compared it to being brought out of Egypt, the brother did, in his testimony tonight. Thank God. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God. And it is true. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Thank God. Oh, not to just get them out of Egypt, and not for them to die in the wilderness, but for them to inhabit and inherit. Thank God. And drive their tent pegs down in Canaan. Hallelujah. And he said, you're in danger as they were of coming out of Egypt and yet missing that rest that remains for the people of God. You're in danger of having that power of that blessing of God in your life. Amen. Oh, I think that's what he's trying to say to them tonight. Oh, don't cast away your confidence. They've become dull of hearing. They're doing away with their confidence. Then their heart was hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That verse is just prior to the one I just read. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. Amen. Exhort one another daily. What is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. May I remind you tonight, sin is deceitful. Sin is deceptive. If it wouldn't, if it was plain how it was, hey God, folks wouldn't get caught up in it near as much. He would have never been beguiled. Am I being a trick by Satan if sin didn't appear like it really is? But Satan lied to her and said, you shall not surely die. Why, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be as wise and know as much as God. And Satan always paints sin. Hey, God is a beautiful picture. He always shows the pleasure of sin, but never the payment. Are you hearing me tonight? Are you listening to me tonight? Sir, for sin is deceitful. Amen. Oh, you hear me tonight? God, help us. It's so deceitful, amen, that the whole world lies in its clutches tonight. First John said the whole world lies in wickedness. What's wrong? Sin is deceitful and deceptive. Amen. Still say, hey, you can get by with it. Hey, you're the one you won't get caught up with. But I remind you, the wages of sin is death. And be not mocked whatsoever. A man saw it, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sin, it's deceitful. Always has been. Amen. And people are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One purpose for revival is to break that old hard heart. To break that old callous and crusty heart that a lot of times we get, amen. Because sin, hey God, has hardened us. The deceitfulness of sin has hardened us. Amen. Anybody listen to me tonight? Oh, the whole world life in wickedness. You can't tell the world that their problem is sin. Hallelujah. They won't have it. The mayor of Detroit several years ago said, we don't know what the problem is. I know. S-I-N. Hallelujah. That's the problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, they will acknowledge there's a problem. They will acknowledge that there's travesty. Hey, God, in our world. They will acknowledge, my friends, that there's an unruly and a brute force in our world. Oh, hear me, friend. But they say it's abnormal. Hey, God, it's just, my friend, the beast in certain individuals. But all of us, my friend, are basically and fundamentally good. There's some good in all of us, but that's not biblical. The Bible said there's no good in the best of us. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you with me tonight? The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Amen. That Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone's turned to his own way. Hallelujah. Woo! The world wants to put a band-aid on the problem. The world wants to give reformation. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Oh my. And so-called churches want to give folks religion. Amen. And man needs more than reformation and religion. He needs regeneration. He's got to have a new heart. He's got to be made anew on the inside in order to break that power of sin that he's born with, in order to be cut loose from that Adamic nature. And only God can regenerate the heart. Only God can save the soul. Only the Holy Ghost can make us new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Harden through the deceitfulness of sin. The world says, if we'll do enough social good, if we'll feed enough hungry, if we'll give enough money to the poor. Are you with me? If we'll save Mother Earth. And y'all listening to the preacher tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Then eventually we will evolve and thank God one day. Thank God. I will be a perfect people. But it's not possible. That's the deceit of sin. If you don't get rid of sin, sin will get rid of you. And the only place to get rid of sin is at Calvary. It's at the feet of the cross. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. Deceitfulness of sin. Eve was deceived by sin. Cain was deceived by sin. Amen. And Cain acknowledged God. That's why he brought an offering. That's why he made a sacrifice. He acknowledged there was a God. He acknowledged that God existed. He acknowledged that God needed a sacrifice or required a sacrifice or an offering. He acknowledged God, but he denied sin. Amen. Modern religion, modern evangelism. Amen. And it slipped in our fundamental circles. Hey, God acknowledged God, but they deny sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Some say our problem is we have a son problem. It's whether or not we receive the Son of God. That's our problem. No, the first problem is we got a sin problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it's not a son problem. It's a sin problem. Hey, bless his name. And you cannot receive the Son. You cannot accept the Son. You cannot have the Son if you're not willing to deal with your sin. There is no salvation in Christ apart from repentance from sin. There must be a turning from sin and a looking to the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So as the world looks at it, they acknowledge God, but deny sin. Several years ago, it got hard to find sinners. Can't hardly find sinners now. Everybody's right in their own eyes. Everybody's had an experience, joined somebody's church, signed somebody's card, shook somebody's hand, had some kind of religious experience somewhere in life. It ain't changed them one bit, amen. And quit cussing, and quit lying, and quit committing adultery, or committing fornication, and stop one thing in their life, but they've had some kind of experience. So they're not sinners. They acknowledge God, but they deny sin. Hard to find a sinner. Has been for several years. Now you can't find sin. Nothing's sin more. Drunkenness is alcoholism. And it's a disease. It's not a sin. Don't look at me like that. Hallelujah. Anybody listen to me? Oh, anybody hear me? Amen. God help us. Oh, and sodomy is not sin. It's just an alternate lifestyle. Anybody listen to me? Adultery, fornication. It's not sin no more. Are you hearing me? Shacking up and living again. It's not sin no more. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? And I'm not just talking about children of the world. I'm talking about folk that sit on the church pier and go to church week in and week out and live like hell itself and think somehow because they acknowledge God and shame their soul and put their $2 in the plate and say, oh hell, I love Jesus, that makes them ready to go to heaven. Nothing's further from the truth. Woo!
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you're not willing to be done with sin, there can be no son in your life. Amen. No sin no more. Everything's, well, however you feel. Whatever you think. Amen. Bless His name. So they had become hardened. Their heart had become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Somebody said, that'll get better. No, it won't get any better. As a matter of fact, it'll get so much worse that the whole world will eventually be completely deceived. When the pillar in the ground of truth moves out, the whole world will be completely deceived, and not one person will know the difference. Is anybody listening to the preacher? Hallelujah. Amen. And they'll believe a lie and be damned because they receive not the love of the truth. Amen. Well, I'm trying to get there. Here's the condition of these Hebrew believers. Crusty hearts, dull ears, amen, ready to do away with their confidence. Their faith had become so weak, they couldn't see. But I remind you that God did not save them for them to live in this defeat. Just as He did not deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. There was a Canaan. There was a land of abundance. There was a land of milk and honey. Anybody hearing me tonight? Now they had to go through the wilderness. It must needs be we go through this world. Though we're in it, we're not of it. Hallelujah. But God wants all of us how to live in that place of victory and of power and of peace and the presence of God in our life. Are you hearing me? Most Christians, most church folks are satisfied with the wilderness experience. By the way, God did wax their shoes, grease their breeches, fed them every day with manna, kept the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud over them. God did do that. Amen. And that was God's blessings. And you could rejoice in that. But my goodness, what they could have had. Hallelujah. And what we can have tonight. And what do these Hebrew believers could have? He said, what you need to do is go on to perfection. What you need to do is grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you need to do is to look beyond your suffering and your sorrow and see what the Lord has for you. And God out yonder.
Amen. Bless His name. And yes, there is victory. There is a place we can walk with God in this life. But God has things in store for us beyond this life. Amen. Yes, He does. There does remain a rest for the people of God. So what will these people are to do? And what are we to do?
When we, like they, and when we, like the children of Israel, have unbelief, have doubt, cast away our confidence, become dull of hearing, a heart that is hardened because of the deceitful fear, what do we do?
Here's what Paul told them to do. First of all, he said, hear the Son. Hear the Son. Amen. He said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? What do you need to do? Hear what the Son says. Now, if we're not careful, we'll hear what everybody else says. I don't know how you are. Maybe you're stronger than me. Maybe it's my weakness. I don't know. But I tell you, I can't listen to the world. I can't even listen to the commentators, the news commentators. I can't even listen to them that's so-called are conservative. Hey, God, it won't what's right. By the time I get to listen to them, in a day's time, I'm so discouraged. I'm so defeated. I don't know what to do. I say, what's the use? Throw up your head. Let's all go to the house and quit anyhow. But oh, when I hear what the Son says, when I hear what the Scripture says, when I hear what the Savior says, when I'm reminded, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Woo! Need to hear the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. Pick the wax out of your ears. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Put a little oil in there. Let it get that dry, hard wax out. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And then it'll give you a spiritual ear. You can hear what the Son, what the Savior has to say. And He's vastly different what He says than what everybody else says. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Hallelujah. I think we'll hear Him, don't you? As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12 and verse 25 said, see that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse Him that spake on earth, I think it's talking about Moses. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away Him that speaketh from heaven. Hallelujah. Why are we dull of hearing? Why are we listening to everything the world says? Why are we listening to what the world system has to say? Why don't we hear what the Savior has to say? What's He saying? Is He saying, well, you'll just keep preaching, praying, singing, and shouting, and I'm going to eventually save the whole world, and everybody's going to get right and fall in love with you? No. That ain't what He said. I ain't got evil men to seduce you, shall wax. Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived in the last day, perilous times shall come. But He said, right in the middle of all of that, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm going to pray.
carried you through the wilderness, let you live in Canaan. But to say to all of it, I've got glory waiting on the other. He's going to pray for his church and the glory, and it will be glory forever. Woo!
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh. Need to hear what the Son has to say. Because whatever the Son's saying, that's the Father talking to him. Deuteronomy 18:18. God spoke to Moses. He's about to go off the scene. But he says, I will raise them up a prophet with a capital P. I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. John 12, verse 49. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Why do we need to hear the Son? Because that's the Father talking through. Woo! John raised him up out of thank God, the rivers of Jordan, of the waters of Jordan and the Jordan River. The Lord said, thank God, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Said it on the mountain of transfiguration when Peter thought it'd be a good idea to build Moses and Elijah and Christ all three a tabernacle. And Moses and Elijah disappeared. And the Father said, hey God, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Woo! I spoke to your Father by the prophets, but I've spoken to you by my Son. Every word that came from his lips was from the Father. Amen. What a Savior tonight. Hear the Son. I'm glad we got him to hear. I'm glad he talks to us, aren't you? Amen. Secondly, not only do we hear the Son, but our text. I finally got back to that verse. I finally got back to that verse that we read to start with. We not only have the Son to hear, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. Hallelujah. We see Jesus. Oh my. Oh, we don't just have him to speak, for he didn't just come to be God's prophet. He didn't just come to be God's apostle, though he was. Amen. But he didn't just come to talk to us or to speak to us. Woo! He came to take our place. But we see Jesus made a little more than the angels. Hallelujah. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. Woo! Why are we going to hear it? Why are we running to throw our confidence away? Oh, hear me tonight. Why are we hardened to the deceitfulness of sin? Let's hear what Jesus said. And let's see what he's done for us. And tonight, he left the portals of glory. He laid aside the glory robe and took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. And he came to this world and bled and died and brought us out. Hallelujah. From the condition we're in, we see Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He came to this world to deliver us from this present evil world.
What a Savior. Oh, He's God's apostle. That is, He's God's spokesman. That is, He's God's ambassador. He's the sent one. Hallelujah. He's the one sent with a specific mission. That's what an apostle is. A specific mission, a specific message. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Oh my. Hallelujah. Amen. And what He said to everybody. Looked like He was talking to everybody. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest. He says it to you tonight. Lastly, let me close. Not only do we hear the Son, not only do we see the Son or hold the Son, but we have the Son.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. We heard Him when He came. We held Him or saw Him when He died at Calvary and then rose again. But now we have Him in heaven for us. Hallelujah. Bless His name. He came down from heaven as God's apostle, but He went back as our high priest. Amen. As God's apostle, He came to the lowest part, the lowest portion of the earth. He got down in the muck and the mire. Hallelujah. He went as low as you can get. Foxes have holes. The birds of air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Anybody listen to me? Hallelujah. Woo! He emptied Himself of everything He had with the Father before the world began. And my friend shook it all and laid it all aside and went to Calvary's cross. He took on Him the form of a servant and God and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Anybody listening to me tonight?
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He became the serpent on the pole. Amen. Oh, thank God He has made a curse for us. Amen. I've heard it's written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Amen. He emptied Himself of everything. He came to the lowest part as God's apostle. But guess what? When He left this world, a resurrection and 40 days of infallible proof, He went back to the highest position there is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Woo! Woo! You talk about having people in high places tonight. I got somebody in high places tonight. Nobody getting no higher. But at the right hand of the Father, woo! It's my great high priest, my heavenly advocate. Amen. My elder brother. Woo! Bless His name. He, according to Hebrews chapter 2, that's not ashamed to call me brethren. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God He's at the right hand. Yes, there's a man in heaven tonight. Seated at the right hand of God. The God-man. Hallelujah. There is but one God. And one mediator between God and men. It's the man, Christ Jesus. And He's there to appear in God's presence for us. Woo!
Well, what's he doing there if he's already obtained redemption? If he's already paid the penalty for sin and our sins are remitted, what's he doing at the right hand? Hallelujah. If it's the blood that brought him out of Egypt, it's the blood that brings us out from under sin's bondage and Satan's power. Amen. What's he doing up there? Hey God, he had to get him through the wilderness and into Canaan. Hallelujah. Oh. And he's at the right hand how to get us through this world. Hey, hallelujah. And into the land of victory. And eventually into the glory that awaits us. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. So when we're tried, when we're tested, when we're tempted, when we're kicking desert sand, when we're picking sand out of our teeth, when we're weary from the hotness of the sun, when we're weary from the journey that we have to take, what do? We come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, because we have one on the other side making intercession in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, my. When I start listening to him, when I start looking at him, when I start realizing I have him, this wilderness don't look that tough. The giants don't look that big. Let me say this. I probably won't say it later in the week, but I'll say it now. I might repeat it. I don't know. Them 10 spies came back and they said, "We're grasshoppers." And then they said, "They see us as grasshoppers." First of all, they seen themselves as grasshoppers. And then they said, "They see us as grasshoppers." Pretty bad when you see yourself as a grasshopper. And then the enemies, you think the enemy sees you as a grasshopper. Joshua and Caleb said, "We ain't grasshoppers. We're well able to take it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! How can you not look at yourself as a grasshopper? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know in my ability I take good. But when I'm weak, he's strong. When I glory in my infirmity, the power of Christ rests upon me. He will lead us out of this wilderness. He will lead us through this world. He has promised how to land us safely on the other side. Hallelujah. And when I don't know how to make it or if I can make it, I go to my knees and I'm reminded I have the Son. I have the High Priest making intercession for me. Hallelujah. And there's mercy when I don't do it exactly like it ought to be done. And there's grace to help me do it right. And if there ain't mercy and grace tonight, I'll not be back tomorrow night. But there is mercy and there is grace. Amen. What is God's purpose for us? It's to show forth the glory of the Son of God while we're here. Not to save every endangered species. Hallelujah. Is y'all hearing me? It's not to preach a social gospel. It's to glorify the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I'll be through, Brother Freddie, just right after this. I think I will. Adam was put here to glorify, to show forth the glory of God upon earth as it was in heaven. And he lost that glory. That's your kind of glory. He lost it every bit. Him both Eve shared in it. It's
That's why they couldn't see their nakedness. But when they sin, when they transgress God's command, they lost that. And nobody could show forth the glory of God. I mean, we've seen it at times in the Old Testament, in Sinai. Amen. By the way, there was no high priest in Egypt. Didn't start till he's in the wilderness. For the high priest was for the believer, not the unbeliever. And the high priest made him be able to approach God. Worship Him, serve Him. Hallelujah. Bless His name. But man was put here to glorify God. He lost it. Nobody ever had. Then the Son came. The Son Himself. But that glory was veiled by the flesh that He lived in. We see bits and glimpses of when He walked on the water, when He fed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, when He'd say to them in the graveyard, come up, and they'd get up. We saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we didn't see the full. We couldn't, because it was veiled by the flesh. Is anybody listening to me? So God saves us because He wants us to bear the image of His Son. We're to be made conformable unto the image of His dear Son. He wants us to all be like Him. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We beseech Him, and we beseech the world in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Show forth His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Not conquer the world. Not straighten the world out. But show forth His glory. Now what will the world do to us trying to show forth His glory? The same thing they did to His Son. When He's come forth to show the glory of God. Crucified Him and hung Him and pushed Him back towards heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank God. We're here to glorify. We're to be in the image of His Son. We're now to be made in the image of His Son. When He comes, we'll be made in His likeness. Now we just bear His image. Then we'll be in His likeness. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Bless His name. But in the ages to come, He's going to show forth the exceeding riches of His grace. He delights in bringing many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. And that's what He's going to do. We're going to be brought unto glory. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Oh, the world didn't give Him the due glory when He came the first time, but you wait when He comes again. Thou see Him as King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess, and we'll share in that glory. Hallelujah. Woo! And if we can see that, we can understand what His purpose and plan is for us while we're here to get us to that point. Hey, friend, we're not just going to lay down and die. Hey, God, when we draw our last breath, thank God, hallelujah, there's much awaits us. Hallelujah. If you sing the song and you do, I just begin to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just begin to live. Old things have passed away. I'll have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just begin to live. If that happened when you had this treasure in earthen vessels, when you got the new man on the inside, and yet the outward man was never nothing done for him, he's just as wretched and vile as he was, what will it be? Thank God, when you get changed into His likeness. I'm going to tell you, you talk about living. I need to hush. Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? You dull of hearing? Has your heart been hardened? Has it got crusty through the deceitfulness of sin? Have you done away or cast away your confidence? Are you here tonight, sinner, and the deceitfulness of sin has so tricked you that you're still unsaved, you've still not trusted to the Lord and repented of your sins? Oh, will you turn tonight before it's everlasting too late? And then you saints tonight, will you hear the Son? Will you hold Him again or see Him again for what He's done? And then realize we do have Him at the right hand of the Father. Everybody stand, please. you need to use this altar tonight. I ask you, is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Are you struggling through the wilderness? Are you facing the dry, hot sun and the dryness? You've been wearied from the journey. Would you listen again to what He has to say? Would you again look to Him? Would you again go to Him as your great high priest? And if you're not saved tonight, would you make your way to the Lord if He's drawing and calling you tonight? Let's sing a verse of song, if it's all right. As they come to the instruments and as they lead a verse of song, if you feel the need to pray, if there's a burden on your heart, I wonder, would you use this altar tonight? I wonder, as a child of God, would you love to draw nigh to God? Do you need to draw nigh? I wonder, as a sinner tonight, do you need to be saved? As God has spoke, would you respond? Don't refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. No, He spoke through His Word. He spoke while He was here in His body, but then He spoke through the Scriptures. But He does speak through the Holy Spirit. He does call us to repentance. He does call us to a closer walk. He does call us to salvation. He does call us to service. He does call us to sanctification and separation. He does call us to submission. He does call us to surrender. Is He calling you tonight? If you hear His voice, the writer of Hebrews said, don't harden your heart. Don't do like they did in the day of provocation. Don't do like they did in the wilderness. They heard Him. They saw Him. But they wouldn't hearken. They wouldn't heed. They wouldn't allow Him to fulfill His purpose in their life. And they died in the wilderness. Blessed they were. But there's a difference in providential blessings and covenant blessings. And a lot of folks think the providential blessings are all the blessings God has, when He has so much more for us. You can have providential blessings in the wilderness. That's what the manna. That's what the shoes not wearing out and the clothes not wearing out. That was providential blessings. But they could have had covenant blessings had they went on into Canaan. And what could you have tonight if you would surrender and submit and yield to the Lord tonight and not resist or refuse Him? While we say, would you come? Would you come tonight? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Are you living far beneath your privileges? Have you failed to claim the covenant blessings? And all you have to rejoice in tonight is the providential blessings. And all the time you're rejoicing in the providential blessings, you're slowly dying spiritually. When there's a land of promise, when there's a land of victory, when there's a land of overcoming, when there's a land of power and peace and protection, will you sell out to God tonight? Will you dedicate to God tonight? Will you let go of yourself and your plans and your dreams and your desires and let God have His way in your life tonight? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Have you turned from sin to the Savior? Have you repented of your sin and took Christ by faith as the Lord and Savior of your life? Are you living in Canaan? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Are you dull of hearing? Has your heart been hardened? Have you done away or been ready to cast away your confidence?
Have you become discouraged, despondent? While others are praying, do you need to pray? Has God spoke to you? Do you need to respond tonight to this invitation? Do you need to respond to the call of God and the voice of God tonight? One more time. Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Do you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? While we continue to sing, while others are praying, do you need to pray? Do you need to draw nigh to God? Do you need to get to the throne of grace and ask for mercy? And find grace to help in time of need? Would you let go and let God have His way in your life? Would you apprehend what you've been apprehended of?